Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adatula.
Yep, In the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Lunar New Year to everybody who celebrates, and happy birthday to one Kaimi Fairbairn.
How about that?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Salute.
Yeah. You have a birthday message for Kaimi?
No, not really. Other than, you know,
make your kicks, bro.
Don't miss the candles.
Wow. Don't miss the candles. Dang. Is what he went with.
I just said, don't miss your kicks, bro.
I mean, you wasn't that much better. Hey. I just want to make that clear.
Hey, do you want him to miss some kicks?
Neither do I want him to. I don't want to miss the kicks either. All right. But yeah, I just wanted to salute that. Also, if you happen to not know, tomorrow, Nick Cayley is going to be interviewed by the Houston Texans for the open offensive coordinator job. So that he would be the fourth that we know officially is interviewing for this position. Now, a nice group kind of rounding out of people being interviewed, but all of them fairly new to, none of them have called a place.
No.
On this level.
No, they all are in the same boat. So if you you can question it.
Similar boats, because I mean, some of them have been at the NFL level, either not at all or just not very much. Nick Cayley's been around in various different staffs. Gerard Johnson a little bit similar as well.
Yeah, three or four.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So but that's what's happening around the offensive coordinator situation as well. But we didn't take a lot of time to stop down and really think back on this season for the Texans. So I wanted to do that in this way, or just use this as an opportunity or an avenue to try and do this. Let's do some end of season awards for this Texans team, and we begin with a very simple one: most improved. And
is cool. We're doing like high school banquet style.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Best dress.
That's right. Most likely to be president. Yeah. No, I'm interested in this one because also this allows me to get off one of my takes, TM trademark. Mm-hmm. The idea of most improved award, at least in NBA, really upsets me because it's recently moved to this place where it is dudes that are expected to take that jump.
Mm-hmm.
Who are getting the most improved award because they're taking a big jump. But it's like, yeah, that dude's a star player. He's supposed to get that jump. I think now, Cade Cunningham is one of those guys that looks like he'll get in. It's like, yeah, that dude was drafted, number two overall?
He was really highly regarded.
Kind of what that was supposed to be. And I thought the award was supposed to be there for the player who was like, oh, wow, that was not really expected, the amount of jump that you took, and you took it, so we want to appreciate them. Before we give this award out or kind of talk through it, which one of those interpretations do you think or would you be interested in using here?
No, I'm all about most improved. He was at a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the expectations may not have been like you're talking about, Kate Cunningham, like, you know, but all of a sudden, like, whoa, you know, where'd that come from? That's how I feel about it.
And so I feel like if I was going to go with the way that the NBA has been seeing it, it might be a Will Anderson Jr. Award, mm-hmm. right? Like, is that unfair to say that, like, Will, the way that he...
How you interpret it, that is not unfair. How I interpret it, he's not even in the category.
And that's why, yeah. that's why I wanted to make that clear. So yeah. going with the way that I think we both see it, who would you look at as the most improved for the Texans this year?
Two names jumped right out. At me.
And real quick before you get to that, the text line from the 346, best chance to be a WWE superstar is Neville Hewitt. So yes, while we do this,
high
please,
school banquet style.
On the text line, come up with the superlatives. I want your weirdest superlatives for Texas players right along line with the 346. Started the bidding at a fantastic place. Yeah. Best chance to be a WWE superstar was Neville Hewitt out here suplexing dudes.
So I may be stealing one of y'all's, but I you know what? I'll just say one name. So the other name can still be out there for you. I'm going to say Henry Toto.
That's a good answer. Mm. That's a really good answer.
Henry Toto. I mean, they couldn't get him off the field at the end of the year.
That's Christian Harris came back.
Yeah.
Remember in week 8 when we were sitting there like, where the hell is Christian Harris?
Yeah.
What is happening with him? Yeah. Christian Harris made it back, played games when he had to when Aziz was out, and Aziz came back, and they were like, actually.
Yeah.
We'll give you
low
seven.
Low key took his spot.
We'll give you seven snaps.
Yeah.
Which.
And maybe not even low key. I mean, he may have to fight for it next year.
And look, that might be something that you still bring to D'Amico Ryans and bring to Matt Burke, and you ask them, well, why did that happen?
Yeah.
But I think that there is, like, you can understand how they would get there because Henry had played so well, and it really raised his game, making sure that he was tackling a lot better and triggering better.
And even if Christian Harris had taken back his job, he would still be most improved. Because of what he did before then, but he stayed on the field.
The name that I immediately thought of, and let me know if you think I am out of pocket here. I thought Jalen Petrie up until
that was
he got
my other one.
Injured,
that was my other
clearly
one. Yeah.
Jalen Petrie was a guy that you were wondering like, could he play for this team in this roles that he had? They found him the perfect role for him. The physicality that he brought. Continued to like, he became real swarmy in that space because the role that they gave him fit what he did so well, and he embodied it so well that when they had to move Jimmy Ward back to his position that he played before, I was like, I don't know if he can do it like Jalen Petrie.
Yeah,
and I mean, he ended up doing that fairly well, so like that was wrong on my part, but the idea that you could have that thought in a moment really did highlight how well Jalen Petrie played. He's probably going to get another contract that is pretty solid.
Yeah, I think so.
Interior cornerbacks, right? Slot cornerback type money. And that is off of the strength of having a fantastic season that raised the bar from where it previously had been.
Do you have anybody?
Yeah, the first person I thought about, and maybe I don't know if this is a kind of a cop out, but Nico Collins, man.
That's not bad.
We had Stephon Diggs as the number one receiver. Nico Collins said, nah. And honestly, right. If he would have waited to get that contract, he would have been looking. I mean, we was kind of laughing at him, you know.
We were wondering about the money.
That contract is a steal.
It's a steal.
Yes. If he would have waited just one more year, we probably would have been talking about St. Brown and all that stuff in the same sentence.
In fact, like, that contract is a steal, and it was only 3 years. Can you imagine if you were able to do that for a longer-term deal?
Yeah. No, he low-key, I don't want to say got played, but he should have helped.
He got his, though. But
the numbers he put up
what
before he got
been.
Hurt.
What could have been.
Man.
In a different way, how about this? Biggest surprise.
All right, I got you on this one because I didn't even know he was going to be playing that position. I'm going to say Kalen Bullock.
Bullock was where I was going as well. I feel like Kamari Lassiter, you knew he was going to play minutes, and he definitely rose to the occasion, and he might be up for this next award, which I might as well bring up since we're talking about both of the guys we mentioned were rookies, top rookie.
Yeah.
Do you have another answer besides Kamari Lassiter on top rookie?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a dude that rightfully so we looked at and we were like, hey, man, that guy should be in defense rookie of the year situations. Now, did he get that love? No, but you don't have to talk to me about that. We can talk to somebody in the league about that.
Yeah.
But no, clearly that's there, but I don't know how much of it. That was definitely a surprise, but I felt like the bigger surprise was Kalen Bullock going and really wrangling that role because he wasn't supposed to be a starter, and
he could have been where Petrie was.
He ended up being the free safety that you had.
And five picks? Was it five interceptions?
I believe so.
I think so.
Yeah, no, he was very, very good. Is there any other ones that you would consider for that role, or is it just like that one?
Rookies or surprises?
Or just surprise, period.
Or rookie if you want to as well.
I mean, it's not a good surprise. C.J. Stroud.
That is fair. I did not necessarily put a parameter on that.
Yeah.
No,
I was surprised. I was shocked.
Fair.
Yeah.
And, I mean, look, you can only, everybody has their limits, right? You get to that place and you get pushed to that limit. And it felt like C.J., especially early on in the season with the way that he was navigating the pocket, it was like, oh, man, he can handle, he can help bridge the gap between bad bad offensive line play and still getting it done. And then we got to a point where it's like, no, there is a breaking point where it does affect him, and that clearly shook the way that he played. But yeah, that was definitely surprising, especially when I think the real surprise is the vivid images of him just missing and like putting balls in the dirt. And it's, I'm kind of glad that you're getting a change in the offensive philosophy to help him, you know, maybe give him more answers. But then also, there's clearly just going to be an obvious need in making this offensive line better and more sufficient at doing their jobs. This is a fair one if we're going to the negative way, which I'm a little concerned that we're all in a negative mindset of thinking. The 8-3-2, biggest surprise in a bad way, or actually early on in a good way, Kaimi Fairbairn, the birthday boy himself today.
I was, you know, because we came in like, okay, you don't have to worry about it. He started the year. Just 50 yarder after 50 yarder, and then just
he won the player of the week
twice. And then just a huge drop off. Yeah, that's a good one.
Mine was actually Tank Dell.
Yep.
I thought Tank Dell was going to be a monster this year, man. I thought he had every opportunity with Diggs and Nico on each side, and I thought he was going to eat.
I agree.
How about this position group of the year? And the reason I put this on here is just so we could gush, because I don't think anybody's coming
that
up with
D
a
D-line?
Yeah, I was like, I don't think anybody's coming up with a different one. Like, the D-line was phenomenal. Man. Deep. Mm-hmm. Deep, too.
Very deep. And in
what,
fact,
nine deep? Ten deep?
They went at least nine. They went at least
I felt like
deep.
They were deep in training camp, and I wasn't even thinking about, like, Mario Edwards or Tim Settle.
Well, they might get another award.
Those dudes came up huge.
That Reggie has on here.
What, best supporting player?
Folo and Mario.
That man, why are you taking my... You're in my head right now. You're in my head right now. Now, the tough thing with Folo Rochelle Fatukasi is that he started missing some time there, and you had pretty sufficient performances come through for Toji Ai, and then, of course, you mentioned Mario and Settle that kind of held it down. Mm-hmm. But it felt like the run game or the run stop was significantly different when he was on that field, and I thought that mattered in a big way.
Yeah, I think there's another possibility here, because... Even though it didn't, it was never great, kind of saved their bacon. Jared Patterson. I think Jared.
Best supporting player.
He helped
to reorganize this. Yeah. That's a good point.
I think Jared Patterson might be in that group as a supporting player.
The problem is just you had, he could not drag an entire offensive line performance up far enough for this to be like, oh, well, we're going to give you a silver star.
But they got better.
They definitely got better.
And it was much needed.
And you had much fewer of the mistaken kind of communications.
Yeah.
So he definitely, honorable mention there. How do you feel about this on the YouTube? Cornerbacks get an honorable mention on
I was thinking about cornerbacks too.
The only thing that's tough is just...
Yeah.
How many people can carry a group? Because it was just so shallow of a group.
But you can maybe say secondary and throw Bullock in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Eric Murray had his moments.
Murray
was, I know that Eric Murray was a
noise
for some
folks. Yeah, good moments and bad moments.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And, of course, that was the group that, you know, could get got every once in a while on some of those deep shots. But, hey, if they didn't capitalize on the other teams didn't capitalize on it, then it is what it is, right?
Yeah.
How about this? Best villain.
Oh, we can say it all together if you want.
Aziz Alshire?
Aziz is clearly the best villain.
He could have been somebody that can get into the WWE, too, if you want to go there.
That's right.
I don't know. Like, how do we feel about the Aziz as WWE? Like, because this is the thing. The reason why I brought this up is he went into that space where he was like, you know, I'll be the villain if you want me to be the villain. But I don't know if I actually view him as a villain.
No, he's not.
He just got portrayed as such.
No, he absolutely is not. But that's the role he played.
I can see him being the villain in WWE.
Yeah.
Where he could be that good guy.
The heel turn is what we're talking about here.
He get that spike back. Oh, my God. What a dirty. dirty players.
I can't believe this is happening.
I can't believe this.
It's like he's the face, and then all of a sudden you see him go underneath the ring and pull out that steel chair. Yeah. What is he doing? What is he doing?
Wait a minute.
What is he doing?
That was a dirty play
That's
by
what
him.
They were saying. Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
You're not supposed to do that. No.
Wait a minute.
Don't do that.
Is there another candidate for best villain?
That's what I was trying to figure.
Laramie?
Ooh, that's a good answer, because I don't know that he was a villain by his own doing, but he definitely was a villain, especially if you look at this text line, the way that we look at this text line week after week, day after day during the season, the way that y'all hate Laramie Tunsil.
Oh, man.
And look, I understand, like this, that man got a holding call because he was wearing red gloves against a team. Were they wearing white in that instance?
Yeah. That kind of brings attention to you. And plus just the false starts and all that stuff. Et cetera. Now, you have another one, but you didn't have this one. I just thought of it.
Please.
On there. We kind of touched on it with biggest surprise, but what was the biggest disappointment?
And this doesn't have to be a player. This could just be like.
Just anything.
Yeah. Anything.
The offense.
There. And the offense as a whole. That's a great
that
point.
That was the biggest disappointment.
Because I was going to go for offensive line, but you're right.
Yeah, no, that was the biggest talk of the offseason, man.
Yeah.
Like the five-headed monster and all that stuff. That was the biggest disappointment.
I think if you're going individuals, I think Titus could be on that list. Obviously, Laramie was still good in pass blocking, but Titus could be on that list. The one that I'm going to is, and you always have to qualify it, but John Metchie. I think
that's a great point.
I think that's it.
You could probably tie Xavier Hutchinson in there as
Maybe
well.
Maybe Xavier Hutchinson too.
This was we talked about this when on roster cutdown.
Kenyon Green.
Sure.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
There was some hope. He came back in shape, you know, got in the starting lineup after training camp and preseason, and then it's like, oh, Lord.
me and my brain, that train left the station, man.
Yeah, like, even during the preseason, we were kind of like, eh.
But I guess, because my thing was, if he could just start for the whole season and be okay starting, that was a win. He ain't got to be all pro.
Yeah.
He couldn't even do that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Couldn't.
But Mechie's on my list.
Mechie, and I I'm going to keep Hutchinson there because when roster cutdown happened, we looked at the construction of that wide receiver room, and we were like, hey, this feels like a clearer, concerted effort to go with the youth and development, with these guys who have some upside, and see if you can bring them along. And you got none of that.
You let go of Noah Brown for one of these guys.
Is Kaimi on the list?
Kaimi feels like. Yeah.
Yeah, the spark when he started.
He started really well, and he
got to play the whole season.
Really big misses.
Yeah, you got to play the whole season.
Now, one of the ones that has come up and down, I feel like you could go tight end position as a whole.
Oh, yeah.
But Dalton Schultz in particular.
That's a good one.
And this is always, the framework is always going to be there that contract is such where you expect him to be a major player. Mm-hmm. And in a year where you were looking for pass catchers when you had some guys really go down, obviously Stephon Diggs goes down relatively early in the season. You lose Tank Dell later in the season, right? You lose some major tent poles that you were trying to lean on, even as you're talking about the five-headed monster, even if that did not fully materialize, you still needed to have some offense there.
Yeah.
And Dalton Schultz, you were expecting him to help more.
He's on the list.
And on top of that, like, he didn't cover himself in glory blocking, which I don't know that you expected a lot, but you at least expected effort. And it's, at times it looked like there was not adequate, sufficient effort put in.
Yeah.
And then the thing that he is getting paid handsomely for, which is catching the football, being a target downfield, that didn't feel like that materialized in a strong way.
He was like, all right, you know?
Yeah. Somebody said Bobby Slowick is the villain.
Oh, or disappointment.
Go ahead and no, that I think that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fair. Like this was an offense, because when you say offense in general, he is the helm. Like he's the face of that. This was an offense that was promising in year one. It was one of the big reasons why you could talk about five-headed monsters and why they went and added one more wide receiver help to it and Stephon Diggs, and went and added Joe Mixon. Like, okay, we're going to strap this up and we're going to go again and we're going to see progress. And not only did you not see progress, you didn't see stagnation. Mm-hmm. You saw regression from this offense.
Where's Damian Pierce? What category would he fall into? Because he's not a disappointment, because I don't know what we expected.
I think it is a little bit of a disappointment,
you know what,
man.
Yeah. I don't know. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just think it's a disappointment because he barely played. He barely got on the field, man. I did.
But we didn't really. I didn't have like high expectations based on last year.
Yeah, I guess this might be a more of a offensive thing for the Texans, because I wish they used more running backs than just one guy. And I don't.
Yeah.
I just I thought Damian Pierce would be better as a second option, mm-hmm. but he barely played.
Yeah.
I think the Damian Pierce earns the It Is What It Is award. How about performance of the year?
I'd still go back to the CJ, but you know, game, a second half or whatever, or after the first quarter against the Chargers. That was the day, and we talked about it coming into this show the following Monday and that whole week. Like, that's the guy that we remember. I would say CJ against the Chargers.
I think that's fair, especially because mm-hmm. with the arc of the season, I think that gave you hope that, okay, it's definitely yes. still in there.
Yes.
That the, you know, the struggles that you saw down the second half of the season weren't going to hurt in the same way. Can I throw up there, and maybe this is so far back that it doesn't count, Colts week one.
Mm.
Joe Mixon. Mm-hmm. We were like, oh, this is a thing. Yeah. This is a problem.
That was sweet. That was a good week.
It's like, oh, yeah, yeah. Running the football down people's throat. This is a possibility. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a thing.
That's a good one, actually.
I really enjoyed.
Because we came in like, all right, it's happening. Of course, it didn't happen. And you can kind of pick your game with Nico Collins as well.
Nico Collins, mm-hmm. defensively, was there a performance of the year for you?
Ooh, defensively?
Yeah, Will Anderson had, what was it, the three sacks mm-hmm. against, was that the Cowboys?
That was one.
Was that the three-sack game?
I mean, they ended up losing the game, but they five picks against the Lions.
Yeah, I was going to say that was a good, huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Huge. Yeah. All right. And somebody, yeah, appreciate you guys getting involved. They said they didn't have, Slowick produced zero games with multiple 100-yard receivers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that absolutely doesn't help with this circumstance. But there you go. Some end-of-season awards for your Houston Texans. Just kind of review the season mm-hmm. in that way. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's time for us to do our in-the-loop lunchtime confessions.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built. It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Mark Schlereth of the Stinking Truth Podcast. The NFL playoffs are here, and I'll be breaking down every matchup as we get toward the big game. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I on the Stinking Truth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions on Sports Radio 610.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
All right, boys, if you haven't heard, and boys and girls listening, we're going.
You want Clint Sterling right there.
Well, I was talking to you two, and then I realized.
All right, boys.
Other people might be listening to this conversation. So it could be boys and girls.
Can you imagine if Lopez tried to talk like Clint?
Look here, Chief.
All right, boys.
We're going to the Super Bowl.
That is true.
We are going to New Orleans.
Well, we're going to Super Bowl Radio Row.
Yeah.
I'm not going to the Super Bowl.
Right, exactly. But
by the way, shout out to the people that are sending us out to Radio Row. Fly by Yingling.
Oh, yeah.
Low T Center.
Mokarum Law Firm.
Mokarum Law Firm.
We keep it 100.
Yeah, we are.
That's right.
So.
And Exclusive Furniture having that hot seat for us.
It struck me. I finally know what to do with the Reggie Helmet money.
Ah, yes. The money that I get for my faux pas on air.
Yeah. Let's take that money. Let's go to a casino. Harrah's or wherever.
Bet all in black?
In New Orleans. Well, let's let the listeners decide, red or black.
Okay.
And then whatever that, if we lose, well, no harm, no foul. If we win, then we double the money and we give it to, we still need to figure out a charity.
We still need to figure out, because I was like, I'm pretty sure I said that we were going to give that
maybe
to charity.
Maybe National Federation of the Blind.
That is, yeah, that's possible.
In honor of the referees taking that game from the Texans. They're swinging that game toward the Chiefs. So y'all in?
I'm going to leave that up to the people.
Red or black?
Because I don't know. It feels a little indecent to me personally to take money that has been set earmarked for charity and being like, but let me gamble it real
but
quick.
But see, my thing is if we lose the money, then nobody get anything.
Well, it's just been sitting there for several months anyway.
Which I'm proud of everybody at the station for not taking it.
Though. Yeah. Yeah. I'm proud it's just been said we can double the money and give it to National Federation of the Blind or another charity we decide on. Boom, there you go.
Okay.
Are you in? I'm talking about the guys in the room now. Are you in?
I am still undecided. I'm going to be completely honest.
Figgy?
I'm in.
Okay.
All
right.
Why not, right?
Because, again, we can lose the money. This is why I'm not a gambler, by the way. Yeah. There's a lot of people that, I feel like you are one of two people. You're the person that goes, ooh, look at how much money I could win.
Yeah.
You are a gambler.
Yeah.
And if you're like me, you're like, whew, but what if I lose?
What if I lose that money?
I am not a gambler. That's why that happens.
In the words of the great Adam Spillane, it's not my money.
That's right. Someone on the YouTube said Lopez is going to lose that money. You see it.
See what happened was.
That's right.
You see it. Somebody said always bet black. Okay. So it seems like they're pro this situation. And we'll follow up. More on that. By the way, in talking about the end of season wars, we mentioned best performance, and somebody else brought up Derek Stingley versus Miami.
Oh boy, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, man, he was a menace for them folks.
Man, he killed.
Yeah, no, keep sending those in as well. I asked you guys to send in like a million things, and I'm trying to. I will make sure that I keep validating that by actually reading those on air.
These are my confessions.
All right. Yesterday, the New York Yankees owner or, you know, kind of was the president of operations, whatever, Hal Steinbrenner was talking and he acknowledged something about the league. And that is that, quote, it's difficult for most of us owners to be able to do the kind of things that they're doing, speaking about the Los Angeles Dodgers and the amount of money that they are just throwing.
Yeah.
At their roster, said, quote, we'll see if it pays off. They still have to have a season relatively injury free for it to work out for them, and it's a long season, and you know, and once you get to the postseason, anything can happen. We've seen that time and time again, close quote. So again, that is Hal Steinbrenner, son of Big George Steinbrenner, owner of the New York Yankees, saying, I don't know, we just don't got the money. We just don't got the money for to keep up with the Dodgers. And I gotta confess, I understand what he means. However, George Steinbrenner got to be rolling in his grave.
Yes.
Got to be rolling in his grave that his son Hal is out here talking like a broke boy.
Poor Yankees.
And acting like a broke boy. They got outbid for Juan Soto, and then mere months later, he's like, we just can't compete with
poor
the Dodgers.
And by the way, the Dodgers beat your ass in the World Series.
We just can't compete
with
the Dodgers.
And they doubling down.
They just can't compete with, you know, those big market teams.
That's right.
Poor Yankees.
And I guess I do understand it to some degree because, look, the Yankees ownership, that's what they do. Like, in a way, it's kind of mom and pop. Like,
but it's not what they've been.
Right. No, I know what you mean, but when I say that's what they do, like, this is their business, right? And in the world of sports, especially sports are getting more and more expensive to where the owners of sports need to have so much money in order to do this at the level that it feels is necessary. And so, in my feeling, you should probably, like, your business, you better have a business outside of this sports thing that really funds what you're doing.
But it's the Yankees.
And the teams that the business is the sports team, they're not going to be able to get to those same levels. However, again, That was the whole ethos, is the Yankees are the Death Star. The Yankees got all the money in the world, and we not going to get outbid, and we're going to be able to throw our weight around.
Yeah.
And like, they just got outbid, and they're out here talking about being a small, being not being the weightiest in the land. Yeah. You sound like some suckers.
I totally get it when it comes to the Dodgers and what they doing. I think everybody is kind of sitting around and see how this season going to go, because if it crashed, then it's going to be like, yep, see, that's what they get.
Well, but I do think
you got outbidded by the Mets, man. Yes,
by the Mets, too.
Yeah, one of your best players went to the Mets.
Yes, it's ridiculous. You know,
that's embarrassing.
You know, Yankees fans and New York fans are just torching him for that comment. But the comment that made me roll my eyes the most was when he said, yeah, they might have injuries. Come on. Man. They're going for it.
Yeah.
Everybody. Hell, the Yankees had injuries last year.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of derailed their season for a while.
I wouldn't use that as an excuse.
You know, they might have injuries. Oh, get out of here with
that. That sounds like hope.
Get out of here.
But I mean, he's not wrong, right? Like, they do need
injuries. But everybody could have injuries.
That's right.
Everybody.
And I think that's the point he was saying is like, oh, well, you know, this trying to do all the spending doesn't necessarily work, which, again.
But it doesn't get. I mean, they're still going for it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, if I was him, I think that you probably lay low on this, right? And maybe he has to do this in order to make it seem like he doesn't like it. I actually think that the owners in some ways do like this in a roundabout way, because what this is going to bring about is that all the owners are going to look around and be like, see?
Yeah.
It's untenable because this one team is literally just outspending everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we need is a salary cap. Like, I think that this is how they backdoor salary cap.
Maybe.
These are my confessions. So Howie Long, who was on Fox, I think he brung up the whole. I think this was before the. I think it was before the Commanders game, the Commanders Eagles game, and he was talking about how there are only five NFL teams that wouldn't trade their QB for Jaden Daniels.
I saw that,
and so the teams he had on there: the Ravens, Bills, Bengals, Chiefs, and Chargers.
So he's talking about Lamar.
Lamar, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, and Justin Herbert.
This
is my confession right here. Because I kind of made it low. I think
Justin Herbert, huh?
I asked it on social media. I'm like, would you trade CJ Stroud for Jaden Daniels? Mm-hmm. A lot of people said no. My confession is I wouldn't do it, but I would think about it. I would consider it.
I think you have to.
I would think about it. It's not a hell no. Yeah. Like, are you crazy? No. This is a stupid question.
Sure.
I would consider it. I would stick with CJ Stroud, though, because I feel like he still got something to prove. I think he'd be good. I think he'd be a top five quarterback in this league.
Yeah.
But I would consider it, man.
I mean, I'm with you.
Did you see Jaden Daniels' numbers?
Well, I'm with you. And remember, just last year, at this very time, we were talking about, boy, CJ Stroud probably had the greatest rookie season a quarterback's ever had. Well, you know who topped it?
And that lasted 4-8 season.
You know who topped it?
So this brother had 4,400 yards passing, over 1,000 yards rushing.
Yeah.
Most TDs by a rookie ever.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, he got to the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
I think it's something to think about.
Oh, I don't think you're wrong.
I wouldn't trade CJ. I'm good with CJ right now. But I would consider it. And Justin Herbert, I would consider that too.
Yeah,
I wouldn't put him on that list. I would consider
training
that.
Yeah, I thought it was a good question that was asked this morning to Sean and Seth. The idea of like outside, like if you just were talking about the play, would CJ Stroud, like from what you've seen, would you be comfortable with him? Like, or has he earned the right to like get that max contract? And just like off the play, you probably do need to see one more of those seasons like that first year that confirms it. But he's going to be here. Like,
oh sure,
off the reality of it, he's going to be here.
Yeah. These are my confessions. All right, I think you all know how I feel about all-star games in every major sport.
You're a huge fan and you watch all of them.
I am not a fan and I really don't watch them.
Okay, sorry.
But I realized something this morning, and that's my confession. There's something about the NBA All-Star Weekend that's kind of intriguing me. I might have to just tap in on it. And it's not the dunk contest, because that's been so watered down and all that stuff. I'm kind of in on this Futures thing, man.
The Rising Stars?
The Rising Stars. I'm looking at the rosters. I was looking at them. I'm like, huh. I mean, you can go all the way down. Obviously, Amen.
Shout out to Amen Thompson.
Is going to be
who
there.
Who is clearly a Rising Star.
Wembanyama. I mean, Zach Edey kind of intrigues me. Dalton Kinect kind of intrigues me. I might I might tap in a little bit on some of these Rising Stars events.
You think we'll get to a point where that's more, I don't want to say more watched.
Hell, we might be there.
But get to a point where we kind of more excited about that game more than the actual All-Star game. The numbers, I ain't going to say, oh, it's going to be the most watched and all that stuff. But
the All-Star game itself is just, the reason they're changing it, it turned into a joke. It was a joke.
But the people that... You realize in order to be tapped in on the Rising Stars Challenge, you either have to have a particular dude in it or be like a basketball sicko. And I say that with all due respect, being one myself.
Yeah.
Like, people aren't like, you know what? I really need to see me some Jaime Jaquez.
Wemby?
Yeah, I'm about
Wemby,
to say.
Wemby's going to be in a big game.
Wemby's in this too.
But I'm saying, like, if you're like, I need to see Wemby, you're not like, I need to see Wemby in the Rising Stars Challenge. You would just watch the All-Star game. And then again, how much are people actually watching the All-Star game?
Yeah.
And by the way, the All-Star game format that everybody's kind of sick about, that they think is kind of hokey, which I'm not going to, you know, deny that it is kind of hokey. They started that here on this level. You're going to have that same format where you have four different teams and they do a little round robin tournament to get the winner, who will then, I think, play in that tournament that the NBA All-Stars are having.
Giving me a headache.
I'm just trying to explain. I know. It's a joke. And, you know, I love the NBA, but it's all a joke. This kind of intrigues me, though, and I think because a lot of people like to see the young guy, you know, the potential, you know, the rising star, you know?
I hear you. I don't fully believe you, but I hear you. I do.
I think I'm more tapped in than I would have been in the past, though.
Now, what you're probably going to be tapped in, and I don't know that they've announced it officially, but there's speculation that what's going to happen, like we saw last year with the three-point competition, the little one that they did between Steph and Sabrina Ionescu, is that they might expand that to where they'll do a two-on-two, which is Steph and Clay, or something between Steph, Clay, and Sabrina Ionescu and Caitlin Clark. Which I imagine that'll get some eyeballs.
That definitely gets some numbers. Yeah. With those names, yeah.
So we're not sure exactly what's happening, but we're fast approaching on All-Star Weekend. I think that's a couple of weeks from now.
2 weeks, I think.
Now. Yeah. And you will see Amon Thompson. Rockets will be represented in this Rising Stars Challenge. And I imagine, I think actually it might be tomorrow that we're going to get the reserves of the All-Star starter or of the All-Star team. I think that Alperen Şengün should get the nod there.
I was going to say real quick, I'm not trying to be funny, but who is in the dunk contest this year?
Oh, it's a lot of young boys. And
what's his name that won it last year?
Mac McClung, obviously, is going to defend his
what
title.
What team is he on now? Like, is he still with him? So he's on no team
he's
at all.
He's a G Leaguer.
Yeah. No, but they got to bring him up, right? Do they got to bring him up to a team?
Is it
because that's what Philly did. Philly, they brung him up just for the All-Star game.
I don't know that anybody.
He's going to wear their jersey.
Oh, apparently he's with the Orlando Magic as a two-way player.
Stephon Castle's going to be interesting.
Yeah, Stephon Castle. Yeah. He's been a very fun rookie.
Yeah.
That's a name to know if you have not known about that. All right, coming up next, clearly there's been a lot of ref talk around these Kansas City Chiefs. Are we ever going to see a time in sports without ref scandal again? 713-572-4610. Let's discuss that next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah. Happy Wednesday to you. You are in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Text came in from the 832. I was about to say kind of out of nowhere, but we were talking about Amen. Amen. I feel like I've been saying his name incorrectly.
I heard
it's amen. It's I put the emphasis on the first syllable. I usually say amen, but it's like
amen.
It's amen.
Amen.
Amen Thompson.
Okay.
So I'm trying to make sure I get that right.
Aaron's saying that's right.
Thank you. I appreciate amen. You, Aaron Raybould, who will also be in NOLA. I'm sure that he's going to have plenty of time to enjoy all of the sights and sounds in New Orleans, Louisiana.
12-hour work days, that's right. Baby. Monday through Friday.
That was a joke for four people. No, but somebody asked how is Amen's brother doing in comparison to him. His name is Alsar Thompson, plays for the Pistons. We just saw them relatively recently.
Yeah.
8 points, 5 rebounds, 1.5 assists, and he's the good one.
He's the good one?
The good one.
Well-behaved?
Nope, that's not what it means. He's the good one. I'll determine if I want to give you that that theory that I've had when it comes to twins in sports at a different time.
So he's the good twin, and Amen is the evil twin?
No, Amen's, Amen's the good one.
Yeah.
Amen's the good one.
Oh, okay.
That's right. But yes, I did want to talk about referees a little bit here because, look, man, this has gotten to a fever pitch to the point where our friend and yours, Nick Wright, was on Dan Patrick, what was that, yesterday or the day before?
Yeah.
And he was very upset. he was mad online, as the kids might say. Actually, I don't think the kids are saying that. That's probably from like 5 years ago.
How dare you talk about my Chiefs?
That's, well, Nick Wright, and let me make sure I get this correct, because I don't want to misappropriate or not get the right way that he was saying this. Mm-hmm. But apparently, Nick Wright is upset at the conversations and the ways in which, especially mainstream outlets, are continuing to talk about
Adam Schefter,
the conspiracies that at least of the Chiefs getting favorable whistles,
yeah,
and outright assistance from referees. But like, this has reached a high level where you are getting Adam Schefter talking about, mm-hmm, well, if, you know, sending tweets that say, if you are, you know, if you're worried about this, help is on the way,
yeah,
and things of that nature, to where typically it feels like ref, you know, kind of things like, oh, there's one team is getting favor or whatever, that usually stays at like the fan level.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's reached to where people are talking about it. You've got people on various, all of these talking head shows, on podcasts. Ocho Cinco came out the day after the AFC Championship game going, nah, man, like, yeah, this is blatant. Are we ever going to reach a point in sports again where you're not going to have these kind of complaints about refs? Because it feels like they have just been consistent nowadays.
I think the exact opposite.
Okay.
I think it's going to get worse because of,
seems like it is getting worse,
because there is, you know, people, there's going to be more of a conversation. And you know how I know that it is real, and that there is absolutely some level of subconscious, unconscious biases, because Robert Griffin III said there's not. So
wow. Wait. What's your problem with RG3?
Because he just always takes the so far outside.
Does he? You know, I don't really think of RG3 as that guy.
He does. Okay. He's one of your third eye guys, you know, and all that stuff.
How did that become mine?
on a lot of things. But back to the point at hand here, like, because of all the technology that is available, and Major League, yeah, Baseball is going to test a strike zone that is electronic, because the visuals are so big, and social media is so strong, and it's only going to get stronger. I think it's actually going to get worse until there is a day that some of these things can be done electronically, you know, like a first down,
right,
by Josh Allen, the stupid roughing the quarterback penalties and stuff in the Texans games. Now, I don't know if technology can necessarily,
that's what I'm saying, it's like,
fix that particular, right, thing, but there are a number of things that can be fixed. And maybe instantaneous, you know, replay review. Like we see, and that's the thing that's frustrating to me. We see instant reviews, you know, before the ball is even snapped on the next one.
And we see a lot of
in
them.
In some cases, but not in all.
And you're right. Like, we also can, these things can be disseminated very quickly.
Yes.
We get HD video, 4K video, mm-hmm, on our phones, on social media, and these, mm-hmm, things can go far and wide to where we can Zapruder film all these things consistently. Yeah, the human element becomes more and more problematic. And I think one of the reasons why is also all this gambling that we got on it, right?
Like, that's another reason.
The stakes become even,
yeah,
higher,
yeah,
on these things, because people have real life big time money on it, mm-hmm, as gambling has not just become bigger, but also legalized in a lot of places. But yeah, 713 is right, right? Refs, judges, boxing has always had these issues that we talked about, right?
Yeah.
Officiating, they said even stewards in motorsports. Apparently there was a big scandal when it came to a Lewis Hamilton, Max Verstappen situation,
mm-hmm,
towards the end of the F1 season. I saw about that. I did not read about it that deeply. What I've been reading about recently, because of my particular interest in European soccer, Premier League, mm-hmm, in Europe, or in England,
they're
also
actually getting pretty good at it.
They're also having scandals right now,
sure,
and people discussing this. And that's what got me to the place where I'm like, I don't know that we're going to get beyond this. And I'm not saying that inherently some of these criticisms are wrong. I just don't know that it makes any of this more enjoyable,
mm-hmm,
of sports, is that if the story ends up being, and I this is where I can definitely agree with Nick Wright, right? Without necessarily casting judgment on whether it is, you know, right or wrong or what have you. Mm-hmm. This being the story takes away from the legend building and the legacy building that we want to do with sports. Like, mm-hmm, those are the stories that are interesting. It's what I imagine a lot of people come to sports for. And when the refs become, and the administration of the game becomes so much, mm-hmm, more foundational to the conversations that we're having, yeah, about it, I think it inherently makes this all less fun.
Mm-hmm. No, it absolutely does. But sometimes, you know, someone, you know, says something that is so straightforward and simple but it kind of clears the whole thing. You know, as somebody was telling me after the Texans and Chiefs game, and then they reminded me after the Bills and Chiefs game, you know, do you really think that it is zero factor that it's the Chiefs and the, you know, and Patrick Mahomes and Taylor Swift and three-peat and all the reasons that the league would want this to happen? Like, just yes or no. Do you think it's no factor?
I mean, we're talking about human beings. There's going to be some level in
exactly.
Implicit.
Yeah.
Exactly. No one, say not, zero. Not Nick Wright, not show, not
but,
me.
But non-zero percent is a very low bar
no,
that we're
but
talking
the fact
about,
is,
right?
It's a factor. So no one can say it's not a factor
even if
at
it's
all.
Like 5%.
Yes. Even if it's 1%. That 1% might be one call.
They do, you know? They do think about that. Like, this would be great for our Super Bowl.
Like, you think that it's that? Oh no, that's not it. Of course, it's a factor at some level, and then we have to, you know, decide to what level. So I think it's actually going to get worse.
Right, and then even the thing about automation of some of these processes. Right, one of the things that we're finding in like AI and things of these nature, right, algorithms before we get to like artificial intelligence itself, is that even with those programmings, like we're finding the level of biases of the programmers are existing within those things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think anybody is like feeling great about the security of digital spaces anyways. What are the possibilities of hacking and those types of things? Right. Like this all gets so nasty when we get to that place. Plus, a fair point is made is like you're not going to be able to automate everything. There's still going to be judgment calls in there. And so the 281 posits, and we've heard a lot of this, right? Okay, more reviews, more opportunities to get it right. Mm-hmm. But including review in this has not made these things more right. It's just given us more opportunities to be upset, has it not?
Yeah, that's a little bit of a sweeping comment.
Okay,
I think it's made some things. Like, it has overturned calls
that has
gotten it right.
Yeah,
fair.
No, I do. But still, I even with the reviews, it's still a judgment call from the ref. Like, oh, we didn't see anything to overturn this.
Sure.
So it's kind of like their judgment, but I do think it need like basic calls, like first down calls, was he out of bounds call. I think those should be more reviewed than like a pass interference or holding or something like that.
Sure. I mean, the pylon cam has helped. You know, there's a lot of things where it's like they got it right. And that's ultimately what everybody says. And I agree. You know, you want to get done. The time factor can be an issue. But
are we now extending out these games even further as we're already trying to advertise a whole bunch?
Like, how come sometimes it's like boom, boom? Yeah. Oh no, you got the call wrong. Okay,
my thing, like I don't know if they could do this, but when you watch tennis, man, when they had those
instant
right there, man, you don't miss a beat, man. You probably like 5 seconds,
not even.
And it's that you get a little
nip,
and that's it. That out, and then you keep going, man.
Yeah,
I'm getting to a point where I don't know that we're ever going to rid ourselves of this being part of the experience of sports. Like, I think this is our new normal.
Yeah.
Right? Just like having these levels of considerations and conversations around it. And it kind of saddens me because, again, like for me personally, and that's who I can speak for, I'm in sports to see people do incredible stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like so much of the incredible stuff is now being buttressed by having to have these conversations about are there biases in here and what's unfair and what is fair and like the idea of like, hey man, that number does not hit because of this particular, like all of those other portions of this have filtered in a huge way. And it feels like it gets away from like the heart, the thing that got you to love football or basketball or baseball or track or whatever. Although I don't know if there's been many instances of track.
Well, just being photo finishes is it.
Yeah,
they get that right.
Well, although in track, you have these folks getting kicked out for these false starts.
But that's electronic.
But also, like within the electronic, like if you time your start well enough, where you're within that margin
of
error.
That's game in the system. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
They kick you out for that
if
you're too fast. So like even in those instances, we found ways to like make this stuff so litigious that we're so worried about, like we're all playing lawyer instead of like enjoying sports.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it kind of sucked too because like even in the NBA back in the day where you always had them barbershop arguments like, oh, Jordan pushed off or that type of stuff. Like it's cool and fun because like calling the foul is kind of like what you think is a foul or not. But to me, when it's like, oh, he got the first down, or no, he didn't. Like,
but fouls, we can still have those arguments.
Yeah, no, I think
that should have been a foul.
I think that's
a foul. You can't necessarily.
Yeah, I think
sometimes.
I think that's a cool argument.
Yeah,
that's a cool. But out of bounds or not. Like, you're either out of bounds or no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I just, to me, I don't understand how they get those parts wrong.
So it sounds like you feel like, at least if we can get the ones that feel like they're really obvious ones, the simple ones.
The judgment calls, I don't really have that big of an issue.
Right, like
with
a foul or something.
Yeah, or even like, sometimes passing the
even holding.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, they missed a holding. You know what? They missed a lot. That whole argument that they had on one of the Texans' runs or something, it might have been the Bills game. Yeah, but either way, I'm like, come on. You know?
Yeah.
But like, he got a first down on a potential game-winning drive.
He was at the marker.
He was at the line.
And y'all, it was a first down. He passed the marker.
Yeah.
And y'all said it was not enough evidence. Yeah. To me, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and a lot of fantastic texts coming in, and I apologize for not, like, involving as many of them as I would like to, but 281, refs ruin credibility if the calls aren't constant. I think that that's fair, right? Like, if you can find a way to, even if there is, if it's not loved by the fans, if there's a level of consistency, that'd be good. So maybe that's what it is.
That's the conversation in baseball too with the umpires.
Man,
like, and they're testing it this year.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, we was actually talking to Reed Ryan about that because I guess they
look at you just name dropping a little.
I know,
Reed,
man.
Reed Ryan,
my guy.
Yeah. Just getting lunch real quick.
I was with my guy Reed Ryan, who don't know who the
How's
hell
your
I
dad?
Am.
Hadn't seen him in a while.
Hey, don't you love it when people do the, hey, tell your dad I said hi.
Like, how your mom's doing?
Right. How's mom's? Like, you don't know me. You don't know my mama. But yeah, I'm just interested to see if we can find how this sports space is going to continue to evolve, because it feels like talking about refs is going to continue to be that. Or maybe I'm just caught in the moment.
No,
and that's what we're talking about in this moment.
Yeah.
All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, headed into the final hour of our program on this Wednesday. The Rockets got a victory in Atlanta. It was a little sloppy, but Lopez is going to try and convince you why that's actually a good thing. We'll do it next.